Father, yesterday is Lord, Father, in the past, But Lord, Father, to some it will be called back on the book of life. Lord, Father, we would stand and give an account of the things we've done, Father, for yesterday, O God. Lord, if we never done right yesterday, help us that we do right this day. Lord, that we live holy in the shadows of your grace. Lord, in your presence, O God. For Lord, you set the path for us, O God. And even as my brother also, Lord, boldly and clearly stated this morning, that Lord, the angel could be the brother or sister standing next to him. Jesus, if you could use a donkey to speak to Balaam, if you could use, Lord, a chicken to speak to Peter, Father, you could use even me. Oh God, Lord, Father, to speak, Father, maybe to my wife or to the lost or to whoever, oh God. Lord, help us that even as the brother clearly said, Lord, if we could avail ourselves, that we'll always be ready to be used to say a word of life to the next brother or sister. Lord, give us grace that, Lord, Father, even as constantly it's ministered, Lord, for us to realize and recognize who we are. For Lord, we have power within the tongue to speak life or to speak death. Lord, but we desire to always speak life. We don't desire, Father, to play in the areas of death. We desire, Father, to speak life even to those that are lost and those that speak evil against us. Bless our service this morning. Bless our fellowship. Give us a union, Lord. Father, that we'd see each other soul to soul. We'd see each other heart to heart, Lord. Father, remove all the barriers, that DNA that's constantly coming in between, Father, relationships, Lord. And let, Lord, Father, Christ's deity be in between us, O God. Bless us, fellowship with us. Sing the songs for us, we ask this morning, in your holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing that song. You are the center of my heart. Today I make a brand new start. You said you'll meet me there. That place is secret hidden prayer. Let's sing it together. This is the confinement payment. And we'll take our offering and we'll continue on from there.
You are the center of my heart. Today
the secret hidden grave.
church can never ever fail. In our heavy need when against us we fail. Hallelujah! We stay in the sand.
And put our eyes on you this morning. Amen. And we continue to sing, we continue to break barriers, we continue, Lord, until we are fully in your presence. Amen. Until, Lord, when the word comes, oh, to bring us to heights that we have never been, oh God, that Father, you may have a free course in our lives. We thank you, Father, Lord, for this tithe, the offerings, Lord, the love offering, we commit it into your hands. And we pray that you bless it, Lord. May it meet every need that is in your house, Lord. Even for our brother Maxwell as he travels, Lord, we commit it to you, Lord, that it will just continue to stretch and stretch until it will cover every need that he will have, until we hear him testifying when he comes back, Lord. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Hallelujah. Let's sing the song as our brother prayed. This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. Amen. But before we sing it, greet the angel beside you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Say, God bless you, brother. That's your brother, that's your sister. Amen. Then we'll sing. I think Brother John has a song to sing.
God bless you, angel.
Fantastic, excuse me. Okay, so we'll just sing that song then. Brother John will come testify. This is the day.
This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Yes,
and be glad in it.
Oh, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Yes,
this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Christ is the way.
Christ is the way.
Hallelujah.
We will see as the management to how it will be. So
My English, because I'm working in my language. So after that, then we had a, that week we had a like convention, youth convention. Then I was waiting a call that if I'd been approved into that bid, we call the bid, because when we are doing like in the court function, we are buying, we do bid. So I was waiting, so if I win the bid. Then I went to convention that time. So a certain brother was encouraging me, if you are doing business, everything, trust in the Lord. Yeah. Everything will work out. Nothing will fail. I said, okay. So that time I was so stressed. Yeah. So I said, I just understand. I said, oh, okay, brother. Don't do anything. Then after I went there, brother Joseph Imazuwa, was preaching. After I preached, I received a call outside when we were in a break time. That are you John? Sorry, you have been rejected in the offer of the car, so you don't have access to buy a car. Someone has taken it. I said, okay, no problem. Then we finished the conversion. Then after that, when we finished, then I came here. The other week, Brother Robaz was preaching. So he was preaching about the desire.
Amen.
So I said, whatever the desire you have, just say it. In Jesus' name you have.
Amen.
Should I say that I want this car, but I've been deceived more than it is already taken. Amen. Okay. I want that car.
Amen.
Amen. I want that car.
Hallelujah.
The other day, it increased my faith.
Amen.
After that week, 2 days later, I received a call. I'm sure I said, the one who was supposed to take the car, there is something really happening. So you have been offered a car, and you bring the whatever amount you have. So I signed everything. I was so amazed because the car, when I was just choosing it, it was in there among the other cars. But that time when I saw it, it's a very good car. And according to the requirement I received, that according to the requirement of my business, the car was in perfect condition for my business.
Amen.
Currently, I really want to thank God and to encourage everybody.
Amen.
Trust and believe in God.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
That's right. It's a new car to me since I came in Ireland. I've never bought a car like this. It's a 2016 car, so I
brought
it outside for dedication.
Amen.
We'll just sing the one verse chorus, and then we have Hannah to sing it. We'll ask Hannah to come. Who? Excuse me. Who? Oh,
we trust him. We will save you.
while the youth come, the youth does the second thing. I don't know why Jesus loves me. Oh, I don't know why He cares. I don't know why. I don't know why He sacrificed His life. Oh, but I'm glad. I'm so glad He did. I don't know why. I don't know why Jesus loves me. I don't know why. I don't know why He cares. I don't know why. I don't. Resources. We need to sing other songs. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We're waiting for Brother Eddie's young ones. I'm missing them these days. Amen. Let's sing that song, "The Hills of Old Are Calling Me to Mansions Bright." Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And King Jesus beckons. Amen. Let's sing that song. This house of clay is but a prison. Amen. The hills are deep. Oh, are calling.
But the doors are clear. seats. You may be seated for a minute. Their seats. I just wanted really to say something at the beginning of the service concerning Brother Maxwell's brother. I just haven't been speaking with him. To those of you here, Brother Maxwell's brother, his older brother, passed away on Friday evening in Ghana. And he was a real servant of God. So I wanted to speak about him just a little bit, just to mention about the arrangements and so forth. Now, Brother Max, he really, really respected his brother. His brother was older than him. He died at 71 years old.
My
3 years older than Brother Max. But just having spoken to Brother Max, he's mentioned him many times before. And why I thought to say a few things is because he was one of the real pioneers in the message of
God. Amen.
He was a pastor in the message, a message minister. Brother Max was speaking about how he received the message. Somebody came on a ship to the dry dock. And was it in Tema or where was it, Brent? And somebody gave his brother a message book. And from there, he believed the message. He was in the Assemblies of God, trying to take the message into his church, but it was refused by the pastor of the church. So his brother, Brother Daniel, and a few of the younger people from the church, they started to go out now, started to meet, started to witness, including Brother Archie Brown. To those who know Brother Archie Brown, he was one of the young people at that time who went out now with the message. And from there, the church started in Tema. So that was the foundation of the church that was there. So he was the first pastor in a message church in Ghana. So I think that's really an outstanding and
wonderful
thing. And through the church there, the message started to spread all over Ghana. And in the early days, he was sponsored on missionary work by Brother Ivo Frank. But Brother Ivo Frank was doing the missionary work, and they walked through Africa and so forth. And Brother Daniel, Brother Max's brother, received books from Brother Ivo Frank and then was sponsored to go to Malawi, Zambia, Tanzania to go and preach the message. So he did the missionary work as well. So it's very well known by the old-time ministers in those countries for the work that was done. He was close at first with Brother Ivo Frank, and everybody knows there came some problems in that direction. So he then aligned himself with Jeffersonville and went across to the States and preached over there, so he was well known in the States as well. And just from his testimony, from what Brother Max always said, he was a real true servant of God.
Amen.
Brother Max says that he was his mentor, and he really grew on his ministry. So that's a real double blessing.
That's right.
To have a brother in the flesh, but to go beyond that, to have your brother as your pastor. And somebody to raise you up in the message of the hour. It's a great, great privilege that
God has.
But that double bond and that double tie is a very powerful thing. So he had a stroke about 8 years ago, but he lived well enough. But then in the last few days, at the end of last week, just according to the testimony of his wife, he got very quiet, very pensive, really, really thinking deeply about things. If somebody asked him questions, he didn't answer very much. He seemed to be meditating very much now. We know that before God calls your soul away, he always gives you a warning.
Amen.
But there's always that something that comes to a person, to warn you, to set your house in order, just make sure that you,
amen,
all your accounts, spiritually speaking, are set right before you pass. So he just really seemed to be withdrawing in himself, meditating a lot, didn't speak very much, and then during the time of our service on Friday, he had a seizure. I took him to the hospital, but it was too late. So the Lord took his servant home.
Amen.
I think that's a great blessing to think about.
Amen.
God takes his servants, hallelujah, to their reward.
Amen.
And Brother Max, he said, other brothers pass away. But this time I felt it as well. He said that there was something really special about this man. And you do appreciate the servants of God.
Amen.
The Bible says, blessed in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. We rejoice in one way, but we're very sad in another as well. And Brother Max was very close to him because Brother Max's dad had two wives. He had, I think, four children with the one, and then two children with Brother Max's mother. And he was one of the two children.
Amen.
So they were the two. So it was like Joseph and Benjamin being from the same mother. So it makes them even closer bond and they even closer time. So the funeral is scheduled for quite some time, July, Brother Max, and everything to be done. It's going to be 11th of November. quite a long time to go, but there'll be final arrangements. The elders know that I'm meeting there this Friday in Ghana. So Brother Max will definitely be going for that. So really keep him in prayer and keep the family in prayer.
Amen.
But we thank the Lord for the life of somebody who served his purpose. And the prophet says anything that serves its purpose comes up in the resurrection.
Amen.
When you find the tree, the flower, anything that fulfills its purpose, you find next springtime, though you may look and say, but the seed has fallen into the ground, and you may look at the trees now losing the leaves, but anything that serves its purpose, let springtime come around again. You know, a type of the resurrection,
Amen.
It's going to live once again.
Amen.
So we'll meet him.
Hallelujah.
And I believe the time is soon. Let's save the family and pray. But I just wanted to say that about him because
Amen.
I think you know certain lives, you know, they leave footprints on the sands of time.
Sure.
Right? And I just wanted to respect him before the service today. So let's stand and let's pray.
Amen.
Oh Father, how we thank you, Lord. Father, even as the song says, lives of great men all remind us that we can make our lives similar.
Amen.
And in partings leave behind us footprints of the sand. Father, help us to number our days upon this day as we think about our Daniel. Father, Lord, you called on Friday. And Father, there was the resurrection power in him. That Father, you had called him years ago and he responded to your call. And now you called him to come up higher.
Amen.
And now, Lord, he's entered his reward. I do pray for the family. I pray, Lord, for the arrangements. I pray for everything that should be said
yes,
and done.
Amen.
Father, believing and knowing, Lord, that your blessing, that your grace,
yes,
that your eyes
Amen.
Upon these things, Lord. That, Father, you would help us, Lord, as well, to finish our course
Amen.
The way that he finished his course.
Amen.
Father, we know not our days, we know not our time.
Yes, Lord.
But, Father, our life, our breath is in your hands, Lord.
Amen.
For surely man is but a vapor, even
Amen.
As the scripture says, Lord, even as the grass of the field that is here today and passes away tomorrow. So, Lord, I pray for Brother Max, I pray for his family.
Amen.
I pray that you comfort and strengthen them at this time, Lord.
Yes,
let
Lord.
The memories of the past, Lord,
mm.
the great spiritual
yes,
memories, Lord, the natural yes. memories as well, Father, be strength at this time,
Lord,
Lord. For them back home, Father, if they don't know you,
Amen.
Father, use this situation,
Amen.
Father, speak, Lord, through these circumstances, we pray,
mm.
that, Father, the souls of people may consider their end.
Yes,
Amen.
Lord.
I commit these things to them, even our service upon this day. Pray, Lord, for our brother Joel, who's not well today, ask him of them, Lord. Father, visit him where he is, Lord. Touch
Amen.
Him,
Amen.
Lord. Headache in his back, Father. I just ask of thee, Lord, that you're touching in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
That, Lord, you'd reveal your healing power to him upon
Amen.
This day. Now bless us as you open up your word. Grant us grace this day.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Saints, let's open our Bibles then to the book of Leviticus chapter 23. I want to speak on something, but we need to lay a bit of a background. So today I want to lay a background to try to get into something which is quite a weighty topic. Really, I'm sure many people have greeted Jesse today, our friend from Carlo from yesterday. Leviticus chapter 23. So we want to lay a background today to speak about the atonement.
Amen.
The atonement is a real, real powerful thing. And especially when you bring it down into our age. Now, what is the atonement? I really, if you could, the Lord would help us to get into that. I really do believe there's some virtue inside, but I saw that we needed a background. Now, we need to get people all to a level where we could speak about things pertaining to our day, and then people would understand what we're saying. So, we wanted to take something today, which we've spoken once before, to speak about the atonement, just to give us a real good foundation, if the Lord would help us. So, Leviticus 23, let's read from verse 23. These are the seven feasts of Israel. This is the fifth feast, which is the Feast of Trumpets. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. So that was the trumpets. The trumpets was to gather the people.
Amen.
But the purpose of the gathering was the next feast. So the first day of the seventh month, they would be gathered by the trumpets. But then on verse 26, says that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying also in the 10th day of the 7th month. So it's the 10 sevens. We know the 10 sevens of the Bible. The 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you. And you shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. You shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls. In the 9th day of the month, at even, from even unto even, shall you celebrate your Sabbath. Blessed word you may be seated. So we want to take this thought of the atonement, because we know every spiritual blessing, anything which we desire, even as our brother is testifying today, it's based on the atonement. We have no right to approach God, to ask anything, to expect any blessing down the line of redemption, if you can put the slides there, please, sister, outside of the atonement. So what is an atonement? Let's just think of this before we go into it. So atonement, this is the definition that Webster gives. Atonement is agreement. So it's when two people come to an agreement or reconciliation after enmity or controversy. So you've had trouble with somebody, you've had a disagreement with somebody, there's come a breach, there's come a split, there's come something between you and somebody else. An atonement is a reconciliation. It's bringing these two parties together.
Hallelujah.
And then it also speaks, the second part, how is it done? It speaks of expiation, satisfaction, or reparation made by giving an equivalent for an injury. So it was an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth in those days. So if you went and did something to somebody, you're to be reconciled back, for that to be satisfied, for justice to be satisfied, there had to be a like for a like. It says, or by doing or suffering that which is received in satisfaction for an offense. So if you couldn't pay a certain something, maybe you could do something else. You could suffer something else, do something else, and the person now that had a grievance with you, they could accept that as a substitute, as an offering for what you had done, and they would say, okay, that makes an atonement now. Now I'm satisfied. Now there can be reconciliation. Now there's no more this offense between you and I. There's no more this breach. There's nothing between us. You know, so obviously, the moment that we read about that, we know what it's speaking about.
Amen.
We're speaking about Christ and his great
work.
Amen. We're speaking about the great work of atonement. But, now, just won't get into today, but maybe next time, by the grace of God, we'll really get into what the atonement means to you. And what is the message? What does the message come for? Now, why did the message come? Now, what is the seventh seal? What are these kind of things? And you'll understand it only if you understand the atonement.
Hallelujah.
Because everything is in the atonement.
Glory.
But we'll find that there's two different parts of the atonement. And there's two different seasons of the atonement. And now we're living in the most powerful of times, the most prophetic of times, because of this atonement. So, in order to look at this, we need to remember the seven feasts of redemption. Because the Day of Atonement was one of the feasts.
Amen.
You know, but it was something which came near the end of this great cycle of redemption. That when the Lord wanted to reveal his mind on redemption. You know, God, it's amazing. He takes so many different things in the scriptures. When the prophet says, I'm a typologist. You have to be, because God is a typologist.
Amen.
Now, for the Lord to reveal spiritual truth, especially important spiritual truth, God doesn't want to come and bring things to us at a theological level, which is too hard for us to understand. I was in contact with one brother yesterday from Poland, and he was asking a whole lot of things. There were some things were taking place, and some people had come and really tried to confuse him with certain things. And then I just said it to him. I sent him back that scripture, and I said, Paul said, There be some that come to take you away from the simplicity that is in Christ.
Hallelujah! Right.
The moment somebody comes with something really complicated and you have to use this algebra to understand it, I always have a warning sign straight away. Because I said, no. God is hidden and reveals himself in simplicity.
Right.
You know, so the thing may be so powerful, the concept may be so powerful, but God is so amazing that he can break it down and bring it down to where we are. Micah says that even fools may not err therein. And that's what it says. Now that is the way that God does it. And the way that he likes to do it, he takes things that we understand.
Yes.
Things that we can relate to.
Amen.
Because these concepts are too important for us to miss. Now if we miss out on the atonement, if we don't understand what the atonement is, we don't go in the rapture.
Yeah.
If we don't understand what the atonement is, there's no third pool. Because these are all the great final workings of the atonement. Now these things are the very purpose that the atonement came for. So now to really find ourselves and make sure that we are in this atonement, and God has laid it out in many, many ways in the Bible, through the lives of people, through the tabernacle as we know, through the Gospels, through the epistles of Paul, because God wants to show it in every way that he possibly can, because he doesn't want you to miss it, because it's too important to us. So one of the ways that he really showed this was in the feast. Now these feasts are the feasts of redemption. That's what they're called by the Jews. Now these are feasts where God is showing his plan and his purpose of redemption. You know, and I'm sure to every single believer, redemption is a precious
thing. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
The very start of your walk is
thank
redemption.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, it's grace working inside of your life. Redemption speaks of grace.
Amen.
Atonement speaks of grace.
Yes.
Paul says that we are saved by grace.
Amen.
Amen.
We're saved by grace through faith, that not of yourself.
That's right.
But it is a gift
Amen.
Of God.
Amen.
The God himself. Jonah, when he was right down there in the belly of the fish, he said that he says what? Salvation belongs to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
The network of salvation, of redemption, of atonement. God will never trust anybody else in these things.
Amen.
He is the only one that is qualified down the line of atonement. That is why when John wept that day, because he saw, how are we going to get redemption back once again? Now the angel said, weep not, John. John was weeping because no man was even worthy to look upon the book of redemption. Imagine that.
Amen.
And the prophet says that they searched through the earth. And they searched through heaven, first of all. They went right the way back to Adam. Right the way down through Abraham, through Isaac, Jacob, came to Joseph, type in perfection, through Moses, David, and Solomon. Brought him all the way through the New Testament. Paul, Peter, the disciples. All the way to our day, to the prophet himself. Yeah, all the representatives. And no man was even worthy to look upon the book. Let alone to even think that he could go and take that book of redemption. Friends, let's never forget that.
Amen.
Let's never forget where we get these blessings from.
Amen.
No, it all is in Christ. Every one of these blessings is because of Christ and his word.
Amen.
You know, never ever get yourself far away from Calvary.
Amen.
No matter what the Lord does in your life, no matter what he reveals, no matter what he shows, let's remember the basis of these things.
Amen.
That's grace.
Amen.
I want to have that. Your brother Beckett used to say that. He used to say, true revelation makes somebody humble.
Amen.
Right.
Because revelation is grace to you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Merit revelation.
Amen.
What did Peter do to merit revelation? He said, blessed are you, Simon. Roger.
Amen.
Others revealed these things.
Amen.
You're a blessed person when God reveals himself to you.
Amen.
But all of the entire basis of redemption is grace.
Amen.
But there's something about us, we think we've got to do something. Now there's something about fallen man, right the way back from Cain. Cain thought he could bring the offerings, the fruits of his hands, the fruits of the things that he had done, and that God would be able to accept those things. But right from the beginning, God showed that he had no respect unto those things.
Amen.
Because anything which has man involved in it is contaminated from
Amen.
The mind. That's why the Lord said, even in the Old Testament, he said, I think in Deuteronomy, or in Leviticus, he says, when you make the altar, make sure you make it of stones that haven't been shaped or carved by
man.
Amen.
Let's just be the way that they are.
Amen.
So when a man gets a hold of something and wants to shape it up, He spoils, and then God says, no,
Amen.
This is not acceptable to me
anymore. Mm.
And it's good for us to remember that sense, because our natural nature, corresponds with Cain.
Yes, sir. Mm.
But there's something inside of us that we think work something,
that
we can do something that God must respond to. And God looks down like he did with Cain, and he has no respect to something that you do yourself.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Amen.
That's not something that originates from man that God can respect. Abel came with something that came from God.
Amen.
It was a revelation of the Lamb. It was a revelation of atonement right in the beginning. And Abel came, he caught a revelation that, hey, for me to be reconciled to God, for this breach now to be healed between me, for there to be an atonement between me and God, there's nothing I in myself can do about it. It's going to need God's grace. And God revealed to him that I will accept something in your place. And Abel came now, it was messy, it was bloody. You know what it is? And people would have looked down upon it. But that was God's provided way.
Uh-huh.
And the Bible says that God had respect unto Abel and to his sacrifice. So let's never think that in order for something to take place in your life spiritually, that you have to work to merit that from God. There's things we can do to get close to God.
Amen.
There's things we can do to get yielded
to
God. Those are all expected.
Yes.
That's what he wants us to do, is to yield and serve.
Amen.
And what is the purpose of that? Is to get yourself out
the way.
Amen. You spoil the
Hallelujah.
That's right.
So that's what fasting is for, and prayer and those things.
Amen.
Is to get yourself out the way.
Amen.
To get the old nature that wants to exert itself, that thinks it can do something. And then the Lord had to come to Paul and tell him, Paul, my strength is made perfect in your
weakness.
Because when you are weak, then you are strong.
Amen.
Because Paul, you know, just inside of himself, there could be a tendency for him to think he could do something about it. He was educated, he had all this great testimony, revelation, and vision. And God had to smite him with something that he himself couldn't overcome.
Amen.
And he wrestled with that thing, Paul. He wrestled 3 times. I'm sure he tried every remedy that he could find. But God said, no, Paul, no matter what you do, this is staying inside of your life.
Amen.
Because this will keep you depending on me.
Hallelujah.
Because, and then Paul says, gladly will I glory in my infirmities. That the grace, that his power may rest upon me.
Amen.
And
he knew that in order for God to be able to do anything inside of my life, I've got to keep myself down. I must decrease and he must increase. That's the only way I can be what I'm supposed to be in Christ. You know, but especially some of us, we come from a Catholic background, it works.
Yes, sir.
If you keep the sacraments of the church, you know, if you're faithful to go to the confession box, you know, as long as you take the mass and all that kind of stuff, that keeps you in. That's no. That's man's religion. Man's religion is something which puts requirements upon you. The Bible says God, right from the beginning, tried to make a covenant with man based on works. And he gave Adam one thing that he had to keep. And the prophet says, but the enemy is too strong for us.
Amen.
But the moment that God puts it on you and says, okay, you have to keep this, and then you can have my favor. Friends, we never know. That's why God came down and made an unconditional covenant on
Abraham.
God says, I'm going to Abraham, I'm putting you to sleep. And a great darkness came upon Abraham. Then God made a covenant, the prophet says, typing Christ.
Amen.
He was torn apart on the cross, and God made a covenant with the peoples of the earth.
Amen.
You know, and I think it's really important when you start on this issue of atonement to realize it's grace.
Amen.
What you are today, you are a product of grace.
Amen.
You're not a product
Thank
of
you.
Anything but grace.
That's right.
You are saved by faith. That's grace.
Amen.
God had to reveal that to you. It's not of
yourself.
You couldn't crank yourself up to believe.
Yeah.
You can try to believe, it's just intellectual faith.
Mm-hmm.
The prophet says God has to quicken that faith.
Amen.
Grace
Amen.
Has to come down. God has to come down and give you his faith, otherwise you will never have faith.
That's right.
You will never ever. And I told God visits you, you won't even want to be saved. You are digging the pig pen. You're enjoying the slop. You're enjoying that kind of a life. It takes grace to come and reveal to you that you lost.
That's right.
You won't even realize that you lost if God doesn't come and draw near by his grace and reveal to you the perilous condition that your soul is in without Christ.
Amen.
I And that's how we're saved, by grace.
Amen.
It's grace from the beginning. And that's how the prophet came and he preached the message of grace.
Amen.
This is my entire message, is grace. He says, when you get over there and you hear somebody singing down there, off a little trail down the way, and you hear somebody singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. He said, you'll know, Brother Branham made it.
Amen.
And friend, let's keep our basis on that. Because there's a works righteousness in man. There's something about this carnal man that he wants to show himself that he can do something. Sure. And the moment you exert yourself, God steps back.
Amen.
And we all know what it's like.
Amen.
And the Lord sometimes leaves us like that. And we'll wrestle and we'll struggle and we'll fight with something, yeah? And yet God's already made a provision for us.
Amen.
But as long as we think we can solve that problem, he takes his hands off it.
That's true.
It's like the prophet said about Joseph there trying to put on his little coat and he couldn't put it on. He's struggling to put his arms through the sleeves. Yeah? And the prophet said, let me help you, son. No, I can do it. That's like us. No, I can do it.
Amen. Yeah,
struggle, struggle until you get so frustrated you're at the end of yourself and you say, okay, I can't do it.
Wow.
And then the Lord comes and says, that's all that I was waiting for you to do.
That's right.
It's realize you can't do it yourself.
Amen.
It's going to take me to do it for you.
That's right.
And then the father just takes the coat and then you and I, like the little boy, you wonder, but why didn't you do that long time
ago?
Why did I wrestle with this thing? Why did I struggle with things the way that I did? And that's why when Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give you rest.
Hallelujah.
It's one of the hardest things for people to do.
Right.
It's one of the most powerful invitations. This is the most powerful invitation in the Bible. Come unto me. Jesus is saying, no matter what your circumstances are, if you're burdened by sin, if you're burdened by whatever, if you're struggling, if you're wrestling with something inside of your life, he says, come to me.
Amen.
But what do we do first? We'll try everything else first.
That's right.
We'll try this, we'll try that, we'll try something else. Like the other prophet in the wilderness. We'll try. No, I'll find my way this time. And you'll go around one more time and you end up back in the same place.
That's right.
And it's getting dark and the mist has come down in a little bit further than it had. And the situation's even more desperate now. But there's something about us that we think we can do it ourselves. And friends, that's why the Lord really reveals it inside of his word, especially when you get onto the seals. It's nothing to do with you.
Amen.
It's all to do with him.
Amen.
He's already done it for you. And all that you can do is accept what he's done for you.
Amen.
And then he'll put the robe on you. He'll put adoption on you. He'll put whatever it is inside of your life. The prophet says, never go seeking for gifts. He says, whatever you need, God will bring it to you.
Amen.
That's grace, friends. That's grace.
Amen.
Imagine that your children having to wake up in the morning thinking, Daddy, and where are we going to get money to buy breakfast? No, maybe we need to do this and we need to do that. You're just saying, relax.
Amen.
Your father's got it all under control.
Amen.
It's all, I've already thought of those things before. Amen. But that's how we are many, many times. And Jesus just gives us a command. He says, come.
Hallelujah.
Come unto me. He doesn't say come to the church, although you must come to church. But many people come to the church but don't come to him.
Yes,
right.
People come to the church and don't find rest.
Yes, sir.
Right.
He says, come unto me, all ye that are
heard. Amen.
And friend, that's the most precious and sweet thing.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. That's an invitation.
Amen.
The Bible says the problem these days, we bring people to the church. We're not bringing them to Christ.
Yes, sir.
Jesus never said, come to the church and you'll find Christ.
Sure. Amen.
You must come to the church, but the church will point you to him.
Amen.
That's the purpose of coming to the church, to point you to him. But for you to find rest for your soul, you have to come to him.
Amen.
And he's a person, he's a being. This is a relationship. This is something which is real.
Amen.
You have to bring your burden, you have to bring your soul to him.
Amen.
You have to throw yourself at his feet.
Amen.
You have
Amen.
To come to him, and what an invitation that he gives.
Thank you, Lord.
Come unto me.
Amen.
Amen.
Friend, that's the greatest invitation.
Right. Thank you, Lord.
But people want to point us to a whole lot of other things. No. If you're burdened today, there's one solution. Come unto him.
Amen.
Amen.
Come unto me, all you that are blessed.
Amen.
Amen.
Come unto me, all of you that are
blessed. Hallelujah.
He didn't say some people, is it anybody who's burdened and heavy laden today? The invitation's there. Come unto me.
Amen.
He didn't say come to a doctrine. Doctrine is good. But doctrine will simply point you to him.
That's right.
Amen. Doctrine is a signpost. The word is a signpost pointing you to him.
Amen.
But you can know all the doctrines and so not be at rest. Mm. Not be at peace because you haven't come to him.
That's right.
You see, friends, it's a really important
thing. Amen. Amen.
And a believer knows that you only find rest when you come unto him.
Hallelujah. Right.
And he says, come unto me and I will give you rest.
Mm.
What rest does he give?
Amen.
Spiritual rest.
Yes. Amen.
It's the same rest that God rested in the beginning.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah, it's the real Sabbath day. In the beginning, God worked for 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. That was a spiritual rest.
Amen.
It wasn't a natural rest that God rested. That's why the Seventh-day Adventist people, they don't understand what they're doing.
Yeah.
They wanted to keep a day.
That's right.
You can keep the Sabbath day and still not have the rest that Jesus
gave. That's right.
Amen.
You can keep a Sabbath day and still not be resting the way that God rested on the seventh
That's
day.
Right.
Because God's rest is a spiritual rest. And Jesus said, if you come unto me, if you're burdened and heavy laden, I will give you rest for your soul.
Amen.
Amen.
That's grace, friends.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Even if you get nothing else in this life, that is the most precious
Hallelujah.
That you can receive.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus said, my peace I give unto you.
Amen.
Not that the world, not the peace the world gives, but
wow.
my peace
Thank you.
I give unto you. Friends, I think it's a precious thing.
Amen.
It's simple, but it's powerful.
Amen.
Because you can never be effective in your Christian life unless you've got rest.
That's right.
Because a believer works from rest.
Amen.
You don't work for rest. There's nothing you can do to work
right.
rest. You can't merit God's rest.
Mm.
He just says, come unto me. That's the whole
Amen.
Basis of coming to find rest.
Mm.
Is just come unto me.
Amen.
All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest.
Amen.
And every believer here can testify that.
That's right.
That when you were burdened by your sin, when you were under guilt and condemnation and conviction, I remember before I really met Christ and I heard the gospel for the first time, and somebody preached, and we were in the town hall in Guru, and there was this crusader, this girl had invited me along, and I heard somebody preaching, and I got such a conviction that when I went to him, I couldn't speak. And my dad was laughing, and he was saying, oh, you're born again now, and I just didn't say anything. I was troubled. We had grown up as Catholic. And I went to my room and I was burdened.
Mm.
Because this man had made an invitation. And he said, there's a man who died on the cross for you. There's a man who died for your sin. And I so much knew I need forgiveness of my sin. My sin was heavy and dark upon me. And he was now pointing me saying, Jesus died for your sin. But there was another voice coming and telling me, Jesus died for sin, but you've sinned too much.
Mm.
You've gone beyond redemption. You blaspheme.
Mm.
Yeah. And for maybe 6 weeks inside of my life, I was so burdened. I couldn't sleep. I tried to take my little Gideon's Bible again from school. The more I read it, the more I just got conviction, condemnation. I didn't know what to do. I wanted this forgiveness. I knew I needed this forgiveness, but I didn't possess it. And
Amen.
There was nothing that I could do myself to get it. I realized that soon enough. After one day, just in the desperation, I got down on my knees, and I'd never really prayed in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I just called upon the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And when I prayed, I fell asleep. And when I woke up now from my sleep, there was the peace of God.
Hallelujah.
And I couldn't believe it.
Amen.
Sure.
God was real to me.
Amen.
That burden had gone. Like I've said many times, when the prophet knelt in his little woodshed, in the coal shed there that day, and he said, Jesus, is there anything you can do for me? And then the cross came down and
That's
spoke.
Right.
The voice came and spoke. And the burden lifted. And the prophet says, I didn't know how to express the way that I felt.
Yeah,
I knew I could express it. I went outside.
Hallelujah.
And burned
That's
the
right.
back of our property. And I was running and skipping and jumping
Amen.
Down the railway line.
That's right.
To express the way that I felt.
Amen.
Amen.
And friends, every believer knows what I'm speaking
Amen.
About.
Amen.
If you don't know what I'm speaking about, it's for you today.
Amen.
You don't come to me, you come to him.
Amen.
You can come to church, it's good. You can come for counsel and advice, it's good. we'll point you to him.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You have to bring yourself to him.
Amen.
Amen.
You have to go with your soul. Take God in his word. Like the brother was testifying. Go and put your trust in him and say, but Jesus, you never lied all the days that you are there. You would never say something that you weren't willing to back up. And you've told me, Lord, that if I come to you with my burden, if I come to you with this heavy weight upon me, you have told me that I will find rest for
myself.
So I, Lord, am taking you at your word.
Amen.
And I guarantee you, my friend, something will take place.
Amen.
It's different for different people.
That's right.
But it's impossible for God.
Hallelujah.
Not to meet the soul of a burdened sinner when a sinner's looking for redemption.
Right.
But if you're looking for redemption in your works, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to just get more and more frustrated. If you're thinking, if I do this, if I go here, if I read this, if no. You don't have to say a lot of Hail Marys. You don't have to say a lot of Our Fathers and those things. You don't have to go and sit and confess to a priest. You don't have to do those things. You have to come unto me.
Amen.
Come unto me.
Thank you, Jesus.
What an invitation.
Amen.
You see how many times in the Gospels Jesus uses the word come.
Hallelujah.
Friends, it's powerful. It was one of his favorite words.
That's right.
Jesus would say, come unto me.
Amen.
He would say to his disciples, come follow me.
Amen.
And there was such a power in that that it transformed the lives of fishermen.
Amen.
When he would just draw near and he would speak to fishermen and say, come and follow me. Amen. And you're Levi, a crooked tax collector. Yeah. All his dodgy deals and all of, the extortion and the things that he'd done inside of his life. A hated person in his town. But when Jesus drew near to him, the power of that invitation.
Hallelujah.
That command. Because when Jesus says, come unto me, it's not just an invitation, it's a command.
Amen.
It's something that demands attention.
Amen.
He says, come unto me.
Amen.
And friends, when he spoke to those people, they arose and they were never the same.
Right.
And that Matthew left, what? His tax collecting. And he went and he followed Jesus. And the first thing that he did to show something that happened to him, he made a feast and invited all of his crooked tax collector friends, and he invited Jesus to come and speak to his friends.
Amen.
And that's always a good thing that you can find in the life of a person. And in the rapture, it's a come as well. It's a come up.
That's right.
And the prophet says, that same voice that turned you around. Yeah? That same voice, Brother Charlie, down there in Kentucky, that turned you around.
Amen.
Is the same voice one day that'll say to come up high.
Amen.
It's the same command, friends. So if you can just keep coming unto him.
Hallelujah.
Whenever you're burdened, whenever you're heavy laden, come unto him.
Amen.
Just keep making him your refuge. Just keep casting all of your care upon him. And he'll take care of the rest.
Amen.
And you just keep walking with him. But where does the problem come in?
That's right.
That gets in the way between us and God. And God realizes that. And God really wants to show us right from the beginning that concerning atonement, this is God's work. This is God's work. There's nothing that you can do in yourself to atone for your sin. What does it say, one of the prophets? I can't remember which one he says. He says, though I could take all the trees in the forest, yeah? And all the cattle upon the mountains, that I could offer them as a sacrifice. Even if I would take the fruit of my own body, bring my own sons and daughters and offer them as a sacrifice. I don't have atonement for this. It's going to take God to make an atonement.
Amen. Amen.
Friends, that's the most powerful thing, when God makes the atonement.
Amen.
So the very beginning of the plan of redemption, whether in your life or whether in the church ages, is the Passover. It's the death of the Lamb. There's got to be the shedding of blood. That is a foundation. If you haven't accepted the shedding of the blood of the Lamb, if you haven't come to Calvary, which is the real Passover, you haven't begun yet. Because you can never come to perfection down the way. You can never come to perfection until you lay the correct foundation, which is the foundation that it takes the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, the Bible says,
Amen.
There's no remission of sins.
Amen.
There's no forgiveness of sins. Your sincerity doesn't get you forgiven. You need to be sincere, but it's not your sincerity. It's your faith in the atonement.
Amen.
That's your faith in what God has done for you when he shed his blood.
Amen.
That gets you. You've got to be sincere in it. But sincerity in yourself isn't enough. Those guys that are blowing themselves up on the trains and blowing themselves up in all these different ways, they're very sincere. But there's no redemption in what they
do.
There's no atonement in the things.
That's right.
That's right. These first three feasts, we know it, they were all fulfilled by Christ. Because he is the foundation of the atonement. The Passover itself, Christ on Calvary. Let's have a skip and just go through them. So these first feasts, the Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. Those are right in the little beginning of the feast of redemption. The Passover, what? Is the lamb. Now, when the Jews take the Passover, they use a little bit different than we use. Yeah, with us, a little bit different. But they use like a wafer like that. And it's something that has to be roasted. And it's something that has to be pierced. Yeah? Mm. And then that's what they break as the unleavened bread when they eat it on the Passover. That's speaking about Christ. That's speaking about the fact that he was roasted, yeah, in the fires of God's judgment. And that he was pierced for our transgressions. He was pierced by his stripes that we are healed. Unleavened bread, which was the next one, it was a seven-day feast within the feast. Now, firstly, that speaks about what? It speaks about Christ. He's the unleavened bread.
Amen.
There was no leaven in him.
That's
he
right.
was the Lamb of God. You can open the door, actually. It's a little bit warm here today. He is the great unleavened bread. Yeah. Just to get some fresh air. I think Sam thought it was winter this morning. He's the great unleavened bread. But the interesting thing about that as well is that the feast of unleavened bread was for 7 days. And as the prophet tells us, it also types the seven church ages that there's got to be unleavened bread that's eaten.
Mm. Yeah,
in God's word, the bread that is broken through the seven church ages, it's got to be unleavened bread. During the time of the Passover feast, if you had leaven in your house, your soul would be cut off from Israel. Mm. You weren't allowed to have leaven inside of your house. What does leaven speak of? It speaks of sin.
It speaks
of something that corrupts. It's an influence that corrupts. This is what spoils you inside of your spirit. When you allow leaven. Then the Paul said, a little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump.
Amen.
Right. When you start allowing certain things inside of your life, and you start compromising, thinking, oh, it's only a little bit. It doesn't matter how small the compromise seems to be, but it just takes a little bit of leaven, a little bit of yeast, and it doesn't take long until it's corrupted, it's spoiled, it influenced the whole land. And that's why it's a real, real important thing to Israel. They say in those days before the Passover, they become like detectives. They go and they search the whole house, trying to find, is there any leaven in my house? Mm. And friend, it's very good for a believer on a
regular
to search your life.
Amen.
To get yourself in the presence of the Lord and say, Lord, is there any leaven inside of my experience? Is there any leaven inside of me? Is there any wrong influence? Is there anything which is a corrupting influence?
Amen.
And sometimes to get rid of the leaven, Paul says, you've got to purge the leaven.
That's right.
You know, purging the leaven, you've got to just get rid of it. Separate it completely. And sometimes you look inside of your life and there's certain relationships you should be purging yourself from. There's certain influences inside of your life that you shouldn't be allowing because it's corrupting you. Yeah, what does the Bible say? Bad company corrupts good communication. Bad company. A companion of fools shall be destroyed, the Bible says.
That's right.
But he who walks with wise men shall be wise himself. There's something about the company that you keep. There's something about the places that you loiter and hang around in. Be careful.
Amen.
He says, you may think, no, it's okay, I'll go into the bar room and I'll just drink a Coke. He says, never take the things of God onto the devil's territory.
That's right.
Oh, you don't go onto the devil's territory, no matter how sincere that you are in your desire. You stay off the devil's
territory.
God doesn't want us to be doing those kind of things. But that's why you find, I heard a brother preaching the other day, and he was saying about how you find people go to the youth meetings, go to conventions, and they come and they've got this joy. You know, they've got this the quickening power, the emotional joy, he was saying. He says, but you find it doesn't last very long.
That's right.
And you ask yourself, but why? What is it that causes this joy, this victory that I had not to last? It's leaven.
Amen.
You've allowed some leaven to come in. You've allowed something which isn't kosher. You're feeding upon something kosher. You're putting your attention upon something that's not kosher. And you find that that little leaven, it starts to influence you. And before you'd get up in the morning and you'd put on your message, you'd get up in the morning and you'd pray, and you find out you're not doing those things anymore. Wow. If you trace back, you'll find there's some other influence that you
have.
Remember Paul said to the Galatians, he says, this influence, that whatever word he says, it's not of God. He says, these people are coming to trouble you. He says, they're telling you need to be circumcised. He says, this is not from God. He says, I wish they could be cut off. You know, just as much as they want you to tell them people to be circumcised, Paul said the best thing, circumcise them. That's the best thing that you can do inside of your life. And friends, sometimes as a believer, we've got to be firm and strong about those things inside of our life. Because we'll think many times by compromise that you can do some benefit for people. The soul of a genuine person doesn't want compromise.
Yes,
sir. You told the truth. If you love somebody, so tell them the truth. Tell them the truth.
Amen.
Don't come and compromise on things. Compromise will never deliver anybody. It will never ever pave the way for him to do his work inside of the life of a person. Especially in our age, people think, let's compromise and allow a whole lot of things in because the young people will leave church. No, young people have a soul the same as old people. Young people know they need redemption just
as old
people. And young people, Paul said, you young people, you are strong.
Amen.
You want something strong and firm. And
Amen.
They don't want something like sometimes old people want. You know, they want the softer sort of things. But young people want the real thing, to be given the real thing.
Amen.
And I think that's one of the tricks of the devil when he comes and he tries to get us to compromise. Never compromise on the truth.
Amen.
Don't allow that leaven to come in. Never allow it to come in. And the Bible and Paul says, when you come into this feast, speaking of the communion, or come into the table of the Lord, he says, purge yourself of this leaven. That's why communion services are very good. Because they give you an opportunity to really search yourself. To say, Lord, search me, try me, see if there be any unclean things inside of me. And it's an opportunity to purge yourself once again. But if you find there's something that's hindering you, the quickening power is leaving in your spirit, there's always a reason for that.
Amen.
There's always a cause, and you find that some corruption.
Yeah.
It's some corrupting principle influence, and generally speaking, it's a person. It's generally a person that you've allowed to come in onto the holy ground, which should be reserved just for you and him.
Amen.
But you've allowed someone, like Samson did with Delilah, you allow someone to come into the holy place. And friend, that's what the devil's looking for all the time. He's always seeking for that gap.
Amen.
That's why never ever, in the days of unleavened bread, the bride lives in a message of unleavened bread. Let's just keep it the way that it is.
Amen.
Now, let's not add this or take those kind of things away. The third one is first fruits. So immediately after the Feast of Unleavened Bread, you have the Festival of First Fruits. Now that speaks of Christ. He is the first fruits. He was the first one who rose from the dead. Christ is the first one. It speaks of his death, his burial, his resurrection.
Amen.
These feasts, this is when the atonement was made. He is the first fruits. He is the first sheaf that was waved. First one who rose from the dead.
Amen.
But when he was waved, you know, in the rising of the sun,
hallelujah,
the Bible speaks of it, taking it back first of all to Christ. When he was waved on that Easter morning, it showed the way was open now for the resurrection.
That
anybody who was from the same field, anybody that was from the same seed, was going to come up in the resurrection as well. You know, so it speaks of his resurrection. So let's skip from the first fruit. You then had 50 days. You had seven Sabbaths, and then on the Sunday, on the next day, you had Pentecost. Now, Pentecost was an interesting feast because you offered two loaves of bread, but there were leaven. So it's not speaking of Christ anymore, but speaking of us. Leaven. But these loaves had to be roasted with fire. And on the day of Pentecost, those loaves were roasted with fire. The Holy Ghost came in and burnt out the sin principle inside of them. Had to be roasted with fire. Though they were leaven. And then they could be accepted as an offering on the day of Pentecost. And we know that exactly God kept to the Feast of Redemption. when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there came a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind.
Amen.
I really believe people are making a mistake sometimes. One, this brother contacted me yesterday. He said, brother, these people are trying to tell me in the message, quite seasoned believers, that the new birth, that you're born again when you come in contact with the message.
Wow. Mm.
And I said, what? And he said to me, he said, brother, but where is it like the prophet preaches, you must be born again, that unless a seed falls into the ground and dies,
amen,
then birth is a process. There's no way you can have life without death.
That's right.
You've got to die to those old influences. You've got to die to those old fashions. Die to those old relationships.
That's
and old
right.
music.
That's right.
All those old living things inside of your life. For you really to be born again, you've got to die to those things.
Amen.
You've got to lay those things aside. And death is painful. We all know
that's right.
To die to something isn't easy because nothing wants to die. Nothing dies easily. Something will
right.
struggle and kick and fight to its last breath to stay alive. So you think your old nature is just going to, just because you come into the message, that your old nature is going to die. It's true that the revelation of Jesus Christ brings the new birth. Absolutely. Yeah. But when that revelation strikes you, it starts a process of death inside you.
Right.
The prophet says if he can reveal, yeah, to you his nature.
Yes.
When he reveals who he is, your nature starts to die.
Yeah.
Because you start looking at what you want to be.
Amen.
Looking at what you are supposed to be.
Right.
And that gives you a desire. I don't want to be like this anymore.
Right.
I don't want to feed myself on these things
that's
anymore.
Right.
I don't want to spend my time on these things anymore. And the more you feed on him, the quicker the process is that you die.
Amen.
Amen.
All things pass away. But friends, we can never escape the new birth. The prophet says it doesn't matter if it's in a pink decorated hospital room. The new birth is always missing.
Amen.
Now, somebody has to pray. Somebody has to wrestle like Jacob. No, sometimes the old man will be really trying to hold you back. You know, that's how I always like the testimony of Hudson Taylor when he was a young man and given his heart to the Lord, and then he comes into the bedroom. He's starting to get worldly, staying in the same room as his cousin, and his cousin's putting the wrong influence inside of his life, and he's starting to lose the vision. He's starting to lose that sense of destiny and purpose that he had when he gave his life to the Lord. He finds, I'm drifting, and he said, I feared. Because if I continued the way that I was going, I feared that God's purpose for my life would drift past and I'd miss it. He says, so that day everybody went out and I was left alone. He says, and I got on my knees.
Amen.
He said, and I prayed, and I said, Lord, if you will deliver me from these weaknesses, if you'll give me power over this influence inside of myself that keeps holding me back from serving you fully, I will serve you unreservedly.
Amen.
I will go wheresoever you want to go. Amen. And he said, the glory of God came into me.
Amen.
He said, and I lay on my face. I couldn't speak. He said, I almost wanted to take my pledge back because I realized that what I said to God had been accepted. He said, and then the voice spoke to me and said, go bring for me to China. And they said that his life from there was completely transformed.
Amen.
After that, everything he did was aimed at China.
Amen.
He wanted to learn Chinese. It was too expensive to get a Chinese grammar, whatever it was. So he went and he got himself a Chinese Bible, and he took his English Bible and a Chinese Bible, and he started to learn Chinese by studying the verses. And he made himself his own dictionary. Then he left his nice home with his parents, went and lived in the poor section of town, doing outreach and so forth, sleeping on a rough bed, eating rough food to prepare himself for China. Friend, there's something about when you start finding your destiny. There's something about it when you catch the vision and the purpose that God has for you. And you keep that in focus. But there's going to be many things. You're going to want to pull you out of that.
They're
going to get you caught up in this and sidetracked on that. And you've got to purge yourself on a regular basis to go back and say, but Lord, I'm starting to drift here. I'm starting to stray. And disappointments come and pressures come and all these different things. And that focus and that vision and that purpose that you were walking in at first, you're not walking quite the same as you were before. And friends, you've got to lay yourself down in His presence. Amen. Because Amen. It's only His presence, it's only His quickening power can come to you at a time like that to renew your vision and to renew your zeal. And it's the same as we said, it's coming unto Him.
Amen.
It's not going to anybody else, but He says, come unto me.
Hallelujah.
If the burden's getting too much for you, even in your service for the Lord,
Amen.
Come unto me, He says. Amen. Learn of me, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Amen.
And you shall find rest for your soul.
Amen.
You know, friends, burdens come, but let's take the burdens.
Amen.
You know, whenever something's coming inside, get yourself in His presence.
Amen.
Renewed once again. He has said, I will restore, saith the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Friends, they're powerful principles and powerful promises just on a daily basis to keep inside of your life. But you want to keep yourself moving along now.
Yeah.
No, so you've accepted Christ. You've been purged inside of your life of leaven. You've come now to experience of Pentecost. You know, that's why Pentecost, the real baptism of the Holy Ghost, when the prophet preaches on it, when he explains that he says, you can be purged of your leaven. Yeah? You come to Christ, you receive Him, you confess your sins. There's an experience of justification. You come to church, you get yourself in the Word, you get yourself on the message of the hour. There's an experience of sanctification. You're being sanctified, washed by the waters of the Word. But you know inside of yourself that right down inside of the heart of who you are, nothing's really changed. You know that the tree's been cut down, so there's no more the fruits of sin open. But there's still the root of sin inside of you.
Amen.
And just given enough time, if you don't come all the way to the next one, which is Pentecost, you'll find those roots now start to draw once again from the resources, and the little shoots start to come up once again. And if you leave it long enough, you'll start bringing forth exactly the same fruits that you used to before you accepted
Christ. Yes, sir. Amen.
It's just a matter of time.
Amen.
But there's got to be an experience. There's got to be something, that new birth inside of there. That's something deep down in the inner man that comes to quicken the seed inside of you. That brings something to
Amen.
You that
Amen.
Is never
Amen.
Alive in you.
Amen.
There's got to be the process. The water has to strike the seed.
Amen.
It says the seed may be laying, but if the water doesn't strike the seed will lay their joint. They took those seeds from Egypt from the days of the granaries of Joseph. Yeah. After all those years, their family speaks about it, and they took them and planted them in their group. All it needed was the right conditions.
Amen.
And friends, that's what it's speaking about here.
Amen.
When you find there's leaven in your loaf, if you find there's some continual things that you're failing to overcome, I'm not meaning just on a daily basis, the flesh is like trying to pull you in a certain way. No. But if you don't have the power to say no to your carnal nature, you'll always have the cockleburr, you'll always have the carnal nature, but you've got to receive something in you that gives you a dominion over it.
Wants
to rise up and take control. And say, go and watch this, or go and read this, or go and talk to her, or go and talk to him. You're going to spend your time in these things.
Amen.
But there's got to be something inside of you that rises up and says, no, I'm the boss around
here.
Amen.
That's right.
To me.
Amen.
When you find that black horse is getting a little bit too much
Amen.
Power,
that's
you're
right.
not feeding your new birth experience enough. You need to feed that experience, and then you find that it's got faith muscles, it's got virtue and vitamins and strength that it needs
Amen.
To put its foot on the neck of the carnal man. Friends, we all know this. You find when you haven't spent time in His presence the way that you should. We all know it, friends. Just listening to the Word
Hallelujah.
Is not the same
yes,
as living
sir.
In His presence.
Yes. Amen.
You know, just praying is not the same as praying in the Spirit.
Okay.
The brother Chukwosi was speaking about it when we were across there in Nottingham, speaking about prayer.
What
real prayer really is, and we know what real prayer really is. When you come from genuine prayer,
Hallelujah.
You're not the same as there's a spiritual regeneration. Something takes place within the veil. There's a fresh fellowship, a fresh communion. There's a fresh intake of quickening power comes inside the divine love. Something that satisfies inside of the soul. But friend, as a believer, you know how regularly you need that. And especially in these kind of times that we live now. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God has to raise up a standard. That's the age that we're living in, friends. Lando, we were speaking about, and the saints were speaking about as well with youth. Yeah, that when I was speaking to the youth that last time, that the greatest weakness you find with many young people, they don't feed on the word.
Yes, sir.
No, they don't spend time to take the messages. Take, you must be born again.
Hmm.
Wake up in the morning early, pray. Like Brother Abanzo was saying, get on your knees.
Amen.
Listen to the word. Already soak it in.
Amen.
When it speaks to you, stop that message and pray about that particular song.
Amen.
Lord, I'm guilty. I didn't realize that I was guilty. Forgive me for that attitude. Forgive
Hallelujah.
Me for allowing these things inside of my life. You've got to, like they say, you've got to take time to be holy.
Hallelujah.
Sanctified, it takes time, friend.
Amen.
You can't just get 5 minutes in His presence and think you're going to come out there washed and cleansed from all this contamination.
No.
With 200 million demons of persecution released, yeah? With all of this filth and all of these things all around, you think you can just spend a few minutes in the presence of God in a day? And you're going to go out there and overcome in this age?
Hallelujah. Amen.
You can't. It's impossible.
Amen.
You've got to spend time with Him.
Amen.
Our pastor in Pentecost used to say that. You better meet God before you meet the devil. And that's the truth.
That's right.
You better put on that whole armor of God before you get out on the battlefield. Because when the bullets start flying and the artillery is going, it's too late now.
Amen.
Where did I put my armor?
Wow.
You want to make sure that you clothe before you get out there on the battlefield. And friend, that's why it's such an important thing, especially in the days of your youth, to make the Bible your best friend.
Amen.
Get the message books. Sometimes you put on a message, you can be thinking about something else.
That's right.
But sometimes it's really blessed when you take those books.
That's right.
And you sit down in the coolness of things and you study over them.
Amen.
And you've got your notepad, you've got your highlights.
Hallelujah.
And you study those things. And my friend, when you get in the spirit, you can spend days on just a few pages.
Amen.
Because that'll open up into hidden manna.
Right.
And it'll lead you into this and lead you into that and lead you into something else.
Amen.
Oh, friends, it's a wonderful thing.
Amen.
But it doesn't take care of itself.
That's right.
Now, this is the part where we have to play.
Amen.
God's not going to do this for you.
Amen.
God's not going to force you to get on your knees.
Amen.
But if you get on your knees and you've got the right attitude,
Amen.
And you've got
Amen.
The right expectancy inside of your soul, the Bible says we don't know how to pray as we ought.
Amen.
But then His unction comes
Amen.
And meets us in our prayer. Now we start to pray the way that He wants us to pray.
Amen.
He'll meet you in your prayer.
Hallelujah.
It's the same as when you open up the Word. And many times you open up the Bible and you're reading and you read the whole chapter, you can't even remember what you read.
Right.
You come from your studies, you come from the business of life, you read but your mind is somewhere else. But then there comes a certain place, if you persevere, if you get on your knees and you pray, you worship the Lord to say, Lord, my soul needs manna. My soul needs to feed on the body word of the Son of Man. Then you start reading again. There comes a stage now. Something starts changing. An atmosphere inside.
Amen.
You start entering into a fertile place. That word now when you're reading, it starts becoming food. It starts becoming life. It starts becoming exactly what you need to hear at that time.
Amen.
It's a powerful thing.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But friends, many times are we not, can we not all be witnessed? Many times we listen to quite a number of messages, but if somebody asks you, say, did God really speak to you through that?
Right.
You just accumulated knowledge. But it didn't do anything for you spiritually. You can't in any of that discern and say, but yes, the Lord spoke to me and He told me to do this. You don't want your life to go on for too long like that.
That's right.
Friends, we need the guide every day.
Amen.
We need leadership in the decisions that we make.
Amen.
We can't leave things to chance.
Amen.
But
Amen.
If you seek Him wholeheartedly, remember that sister came to the prophet saying, oh, brother man, I wish I was like you. I wish I could see visions. And the prophet says, every time I open my Bible, I see a vision.
Right.
If you in the spirit, this is a book of visions.
Amen.
And this will show you God's vision for your life.
Amen.
This will show you exactly God's a solution to your circumstances.
Amen.
And friends, that's a powerful thing. And that's when somebody will come after us and tell you, oh, the Bible's just a book of man. You'll say, my friend, maybe it is to you. But God has spoken to me so many times.
Amen.
This is a supernatural book.
That's right.
So just as much as when you approached Jesus in the days of his flesh, if you didn't come the right way, receive it when you go down to the tournament. You have to approach the tournament the right way.
Amen.
If you don't approach the tournament the right way, it doesn't speak. Mm. It doesn't express itself.
That's right.
People who came to Jesus, the Word made flesh, and they thought they had the answers.
Mm.
They thought they knew better than him. What did he do? He just asked them more questions.
That's right.
They left him with more questions than when they came.
That's right.
They came and said, what do you say of John? Yeah? Mm. Now, what is the question about John? Yeah. Jesus said, okay, let me ask you a question. Was the baptism of John of God or was it of men? And then they knew, they said, you can't answer. They just said, neither do I answer you.
Amen.
You don't want the Bible to be like that too.
Mm.
But when you're approaching God's word the wrong way, that's what the word becomes to you.
Yeah.
The
Amen.
More you read it, the more questions that you have.
Yes, sir.
No, the Bible is a book of answers.
Amen.
It's not supposed to be a book of questions. You're supposed to go to it with questions and come away with answers.
Hallelujah.
That's what the message is as well, but you've got to approach it the right way.
Amen.
And no person who humbly approaches the word with a genuine desire for the leadership of the Lord will ever leave that the same.
Amen.
It may take a while. You may have to go a few times. You may have to quieten yourself before the Lord. Get yourself in a fertile frame of mind. But God will speak to you.
Amen.
Now, like what Brother Chikosi said that time as well, he said to me, but you've got to be under expectation.
Amen.
He says, I'm praying and I'm seeking God. He says, trying to find an answer. He says, I've been waiting all the time. He says, first thing in the morning, I put a voice of God. I listen to quote of the day. He says, there's my answer. Mm. Or maybe my wife will come to me and say, you know, I was reading this in a message. This is real powerful. Then he says, that's my answer.
Amen.
You get what you expect.
Amen.
If you're in the attitude of expectancy, friends, you're going to be watching for the answer. Yeah. Remember, I think it was Habakkuk, one of the prophets, he puts his complaints to the Lord. Yeah. Because he sees the Lord showed him a vision that this heathen nation was coming to destroy Israel. And he says, but how can God allow this? These heathens are doing more sin than Israel, but he's going to use these heathens to judge Israel. And he goes to the Lord and he's like, in a way, he said, but Lord, this isn't fair. I don't understand what you're doing. And then he says, then I said, I will set myself on the watchtower.
Amen.
And now he goes with an attitude of expectance. Okay, Lord, I put it to you now. I'm waiting for your answer.
Amen.
So that you but he can speak through nature.
Amen.
He can speak through fellowship.
Amen.
He can speak through his word.
Amen.
He can speak through somebody else. He can even speak through an unbeliever.
Yes.
That's right. That's
he
right.
He came through Caiaphas, the high priest.
That's right.
Because he didn't speak of himself. There's so many. He can speak through circumstances. He can speak through an open door or a closed door. There's so many ways, but you've got to be expecting him to speak to you. You've got to have gone with the right desire to say, Lord, I need your leadership inside of my life. Especially at those crossroads of life. Where these are now far-reaching consequences to the decisions that we make.
Yes.
You don't want in those kind of seasons to be leaning upon your own understanding. No. You want it to be seeking the North Star.
That's right.
You want the Bible to be your compass.
Yeah.
You want the Bible to be your roadmap. You know, our roadmap's really interesting because it doesn't sometimes... To get somewhere, it shows you, go here first, then there, and then you'll get there.
Yeah.
And many times the Lord answers us like that.
Yeah.
He just shows us the next thing that you need to do.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to explain right to the end of how he's going to get you out of the thing, but he'll just come and say, okay, go and do this now.
Amen.
Mm. And to a believer, you're satisfied with that.
Amen.
I heard from the Lord and he told me what to do. Mm. And then you go and do that.
Mm.
Like we were saying yesterday in Colin, God has his turn. And then man has his turn.
Yeah.
Yeah, if man doesn't fulfill his turn, God continues to wait and doesn't take his next turn.
Yeah.
But if God has told you to do something and you haven't done it, it's still your turn.
Amen.
And God's going to be quiet waiting for you to finish your turn.
Amen.
Then the moment you finish your turn, he says, fine, now it's my turn.
Amen.
And sometimes the devil comes in and says, it's my turn.
Amen.
And God says, I'll give you a turn as well.
Yeah.
And the devil now has his turn.
Yeah.
Let's just wait for the devil to have his turn. Because straight after the devil's turn, God's going to have his turn.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Job. Remember hearing Brother Johnny preaching that those years back when the devil came in that chess game. And the Lord said, I'm going to play the devil a game of chess.
Amen.
And he said, okay, Satan, you have the first move. Yeah. And he comes and he smites Job's goods. Then the Lord says, okay, let me have a move, any moves. And Job says, the Lord is given and the Lord's taken.
Amen.
And then the devil says, give me another move. The Lord says, have another move. He comes and smites the man with the boils. Yeah. And the devil says, yeah, I've got him checkmate this time. The Lord says, no, it's my move.
Amen.
And then Job stands up and the thunders and the lightning
say,
I know my redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
Doesn't matter what the devil does, God always has another move.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It's the end from the beginning. So you might be in the middle still of the devil's move, but it's okay. You just keep holding on to Christ.
Amen.
Just keep coming at him because that season's going to come to an end and then God's going to have the next move.
Amen.
When he steps in and you've held your ground. Like we said yesterday, Ephesians 6, what does it say? It says, having done all to stand in the evil day.
Amen.
A believer doesn't go backwards.
Amen.
When the evil day comes, when the storm rages on you, the Bible says if you put on that whole armor, there's one thing you just need to do. When it gets to the end of the day, just be standing.
Amen. That's right.
Put your feet and get them stronger now and brace yourself.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what you do to me, Satan. After your onslaught is finished, I'm still going to be here.
Amen.
We have done all to stand.
That's right.
It doesn't say retreat. No.
Wow.
That's why there's no armor on the back.
Hallelujah.
There's nothing on the back of spiritual armor. God didn't put anything for your back. You're never supposed to show your back to the enemy.
Amen.
You're supposed to
face
to face with the enemy. That's what you're supposed to do. Supposed to, but you can only do it with the whole armor of the back. And he puts the whole armor, and then what's the whole thing at the end that he summarizes it? He says, praying always.
Hallelujah.
And that's one part of the armor that really, really keeps the armor in check. With supplication, whatever that he says. Okay, let's just get back onto this a little bit. So, just as we finish up on the like a foundation we wanted today, we now get to this final feast, which is our feast.
Yes.
Now this is where it really becomes powerful. Yeah. Because there's 3 months, there's a long period of time between Pentecost and the Feast of Trumpets. Yeah, there's a long period. It seems that God is doing something on Sunday. We'll see it in a second what he's doing. Then we get the Feast of Trumpets. We get the Feast of Atonement. We get the Feast of Tabernacles. So to best understand this, we'll quickly run through Joseph. Because we've done it once before. Joseph is a perfect type of Christ. So whatever happens in the life of Joseph, we can really type it in the life of Christ.
Amen.
And we'll find out that like the prophet teaches us, he says, no, just as much as Christ was crucified, Joseph was sold for 30 pieces of silver, Joseph was sold for 20 pieces of silver. Yeah, by his brothers. Remember Brother George Martin showed us that when he was taken down to the slave market in Egypt, the price of a slave was 30 pieces of silver. Joseph was a perfect type. No, so Christ on the cross, this is the Passover. This is now when the blood of the Lamb is being shed. And Joseph being a type of Christ, a type of perfection, this is Joseph being cast into the pit.
Yes.
We know that. So that's the Passover. While he's on the cross, Christ, what does he do? The thief on the left and the thief on the
right. Amen.
Yeah, he preaches too, through his life. And one of them is quickened inside of his soul and said, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Hallelujah.
You'll be with me today.
Amen. Yeah.
What about Joseph in the prison? There's the butler and the baker.
Right.
Yeah, both of them have proximity to Joseph. And all it does, it ministers condemnation to the one, it ministers salvation to the other.
Amen.
And one is delivered because of the interpretation of his dreams and the other one is lost. So it's very much the same thing. That's why he's saying that you can find the life of Christ in these types in the Bible. And this is the Feast of Passover. Unleavened bread. Yeah. Psalm 105 says, when Joseph was in prison, it says, God sent a man before them.
Yeah.
So Joseph's brothers, they don't appreciate this man. But there's going to be a need for an atonement down the way. They're going to need a big portion of grace down the way. So God is now going to store up grace for them without them knowing it. So they sell Joseph. And the Bible says, and God sent a man, Joseph, before them.
Hallelujah.
That's an amazing thing.
Amen.
It was God sending Joseph. But he's sending us an ambassador in chains. Oh. And we know that the Bible says the iron entered his soul. It was painful for him in prison.
Amen.
And even those bonds upon him, maybe for the rest of his days as a type of Christ, he bore the scars of those days. Yeah, because Christ had the wounds in his hands. Yeah, so when we're speaking about his sufferings, that's the apostle.
Amen.
Roasted with fire, the fiery trials.
Hallelujah.
To burn out the dross, to burn out the old life, to burn out your old ambitions so that you become a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he was pierced, Jesus. And Joseph, it says, those bonds, they afflicted him. It was painful for him in prison with those bonds upon him. Because it wasn't easy for him. But then it comes to an end. We come to Joseph's first fruits.
Amen. Mm.
And what was the first fruits? Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection.
Amen.
This is the resurrection morning when he's raised up now in glory to the right hand of the majesty on high. That is taken straight from the prison house, Christ, taken right down from the regions of the lost. And is now exalted and given a name above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue.
Amen.
Amen.
And Joseph is taken straight out of the prison when he interprets Pharaoh's dreams. And is given the ring and the robe and the second chariot of the kingdom. And the trumpets blow to say, Joseph is coming.
Amen.
And every knee has to bow when Joseph
Hallelujah.
Is
Amen.
Traveling now as the right hand
Amen.
Of Pharaoh. You know, so you can tell that's his first fruits. That's when he's raised up. And now the thing to remember here, he's given favor by Pharaoh. Because there's going to come his brothers later, and they're going to get favor from Pharaoh, but not based on their own merits.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Not through any good they've done. They don't deserve anything from Pharaoh, those brothers. Mm. But because of Joseph, his brothers are going to inherit the land.
Amen.
And friends, this is the basis of the atonement as we get into it. Is that every good thing we receive, Pharaoh typing the Father.
Amen.
Joseph typing Christ through his sufferings.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Through his life, his death. Through his spotless life, his perfection, Christ, he now stands in the presence of the Almighty.
Hallelujah.
Having received authority and dominion. But he doesn't receive it just for himself.
Yes.
He receives it for us, just as much as Joseph and his brothers. Then comes Pentecost.
Hallelujah.
What was Pentecost?
Amen.
Pentecost is the great harvest now.
My.
In the days of Joseph, there were seven cycles of harvest, 7 years of plenty. To us, there were seven church ages. Yeah? So Christ is exalted up on high. From there, there's a big gap until the next feast.
Amen.
And it's now sowing and reaping.
Amen.
Yeah? And Joseph, he's no longer Joseph. He's Zaphnath Paneah. Zaphnath Paneah means the revealer of secrets or means the savior of the world. That's who he is. He's a great one among the Gentiles. So during this time now, the Feast of Pentecost, Joseph is no longer dealing with his brothers. You find the scriptures go quiet, no longer speak about Jacob and his sons. It speaks about Joseph in Egypt.
Amen.
And Joseph is dressed like an Egyptian. He's speaking Egyptian. He's given an Egyptian name.
Hallelujah.
Despised by his brothers, they think they don't need an atonement like this. Exactly the same as Jesus.
Yeah.
When we went to Israel, you find one thing is the Orthodox Jews that hate Jesus.
My.
It has to be like that. They don't think we don't need a savior like that. We don't need a man like Jesus. Yeah. And that's why he's now great among the Gentiles.
Amen.
He's got the greatest of names among the Gentiles.
Thank you, Lord.
And Joseph goes down now in this 7 years of plenty. Yeah. The Feast of Pentecost. There comes in a great harvest that no man can number, the Bible says. Exactly the same as in these ages, the Gentile ages gone by. There's been a great harvest that is coming through the ages. The bride has been harvested through these 7 ages. And then you come to the end of the age. You come to the end of the harvest. And you get to, let's skip it a bit there. The trumpets. Now the trumpets we know to the Jews.
Mm. Hallelujah.
Trumpets speak of political strife.
Yes.
Mm.
Turmoil. And God deals with Israel in the natural. He deals with us, spiritual Israel, in the spiritual. So trumpets are to the Jews, seals are to the bride, to the Gentiles. That's the way that God works. So these trumpets now, what are they? We know it, those who know the message, to summarize as we close. The trumpets was the persecution of Israel.
Mm.
Just as much as Joseph and his brothers, in order for them to come down to this great atonement that God had made for them, Joseph, God had to bring a time of trouble upon the brothers.
Mm.
There was a famine, first of all. They don't have enough food. They come down to Joseph. Joseph locks them up in prison. At the time of Jacob's trouble, he puts them through a lot of things, yeah, to prepare them now, to get them to come to the stage that they realize what we did to our brother was wrong.
Amen.
And that's what Joseph's waiting for. Goshen is ready for them. This great granary is full of provision that's been made for Jacob and his sons. But there's only one thing he's waiting for in order for them to fully inherit this atonement. They've got to realize they were wrong in what they did.
Hallelujah!
They've got to come humbly. There's got to be repentance.
Amen.
There's got to be weeping. And that is the Feast of Atonement. The Feast of Atonement, you have to afflict yourself. You have to weep and you have to mourn for the sins that you've done. And Joseph's there and he's listening to his brothers in the prison. And his brothers are saying, oh, God has visited us on us. This has all come upon us because of what we did to our brother. We saw the anguish of his soul. And then whichever one it was, Reuben or Judah, says, I told you, don't hurt the lad. Leave him alone. But you wouldn't listen to me. And that's why all of this has come upon us. And then Joseph knows now they're ready for the revelation.
Amen.
You see, they're afflicting themselves. It says in Zechariah chapter 12, when Jesus now comes down after the rapture and comes down to the 144,000 Jews, and Moses and Elijah preach to them about you crucified Christ. The prophet says they'll preach the same message Peter did on the day of Pentecost. You've crucified the Prince of Life with wicked hands. And they'll come under conviction and condemnation, 144,000. And they'll realize what they did to their brother Jesus.
That's right.
Amen.
That they sold him. And that all this trouble that's come upon them is because of what they did to their brother. And the Bible says in Zechariah 12, and there'll be a great mourning. A great mourning, yeah, among the tribes in Jerusalem. Each family apart will be mourning. And then they'll say, Zechariah 13, where did you get these wounds? And he says, in the house of my friends. And Jesus will come just like Joseph did in one of the most dramatic parts of the Bible. When his brothers come and they bow themselves down, and Joseph says, I'm Joseph, your brother. And they can't believe it. They can't believe it. That is the revelation of when the atonement is revealed. When God now reveals to them all that he's done for them, not because they deserve it, but because of their relationship to Joseph.
Amen.
That's the reason why. And then Joseph says, no, 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 you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good.
Hallelujah.
And there's the entire granary now. When tribulation sets in upon the earth, and money fails, we know it in Genesis 46. There's such a famine that money fails. You know, men's hearts are failing them for fear.
Amen.
There's distress among the nations. Joseph's brothers are safe in Goshen. That's exactly what it's going to be like with the Jews. But let's not forget one little fact that happened in the middle there. What happened just before Joseph reveals himself to his brethren?
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
He says to his Gentile bride, his
Amen.
Wife, Asenath,
Amen.
This is just between me and my brother. You go to the palace.
Amen.
And that's the rapture.
Amen.
Amen.
He takes the Gentile bride closer in his palace.
Wonderful.
Then he comes and reveals himself, shuts himself
Amen.
In, sends everybody out, dismisses everybody, and it's just Joseph and his brother. And he reveals himself to his brother. So we can see that these things take place, the atonement takes place after the rapture. That's not for the Gentiles. And then to finish it off, once Joseph reveals himself to his brethren, you come to the Feast of Tabernacles. You come to the great millennium. When Joseph and his wife, yeah, are in the palace. And Joseph's brethren have inherited Goshen. And they're living off the fatness of the land. And it's a type of what Christ has reserved for those that love him. Friends, that is the purpose that God has in our lives.
Amen.
It starts off by recognizing somebody that to share this burden.
Hallelujah.
It goes through a process of the new birth where you need to be burnt in your soul with Holy Ghost fire. To die to what you were. You then it goes through the process, but God has an overall plan at the end, a glorious plan. Now he's got something stored up so that Paul says, eye has not seen, now the ear has heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has reserved for them. So we just wanted to put that background today. Next time, you want to take these ones here to show the message, to show where we are.
Amen.
What is the purpose of the message? What
Amen.
Is this atonement?
Amen.
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 Let's bow our heads and ask the musicians to come. Even if you didn't understand a lot of things today, the most important thing is to understand that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. There's no forgiveness of sin. Through saying a Hail Mary on Our Father, there's no forgiveness of sin through confessing to a priest. No matter how sincere that you may be, there's one atonement for your sin.
Amen.
That is the blood of Christ. And there's no other mediator between God and man save the man Christ Jesus. And he's given you the invitation to come. He says, come unto me. Not to anybody else. Come unto me. All you that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And now is your opportunity as we sing and as we come just to seek the Lord for a season, just to be inside of your heart, calling upon the name of the Lord and saying, Jesus, this burden's too much for me. I've borne it for too long. But today I'm just going to come in childlike faith unto you. I'm going to come. I'm going to come an act of my will. And I'm going to bring this burden. I'm going to bring this guilt. I'm going to bring this shame. I'm going to bring this confusion. I'm going to bring all that's happening inside of my life at this time that's so hindering me from going forward. And I'm going to come and bring it to you. And Jesus, you have promised that you will give me rest. That you will bear that burden. That you will take the burden from me. Oh, friends, what a transformation that he'll bring inside of your life if you take him at his word and come to him the right way. Let's sing one song before we come to time.
In your presence, that's where I am strong.
Seraphonician woman, You may come unto him and it seems he answers you not a word, but you've got to keep coming unto him.
Amen.
You've got to worship him. You've got to say, Lord, help me. And then when he saw that certain essence that came forth from her,
thank you, Jesus,
that he desired to bring forth from her, he could hold back no longer. And he said, oh, woman, because of this same, be it unto you according to your word. And I'm sure that's your desire. Whatever your desire, friend, today, why not come to the burden bearer himself?
Amen.
Why not come to the one who bore the cross for you, who bore your sin, who bore your suffering, who bore your shame? Why not throw yourself at his feet, come to the foot of the cross, and look up and see him looking down at you, saying, Father, forgive him. Forgive her. She doesn't know what she's doing.
Hallelujah.
Just call upon his name, and he said, I'll give you rest. I'll take the burden. I'll give you rest for your soul. But my friend, we can speak about it, but it's never going to help you till you experience it. So why not let's come to a time of prayer. Let's call upon the name of the Lord. Whatever the Lord's laid upon your heart, let's speak to the rock today.
Hallelujah.
That it may bring forth its waters into our souls. Let's come unto him in prayer. Let's call upon the name of the Lord.
Lord Savior,
Lord God, Lord, stand before our God and speak us, Lord God, Lord. In your house, of Lord God, Lord. Oh, stand with your prayers, Lord God, Lord, Lord. Over all our hearts, Lord God, Lord. Oh, be separated, Lord God, Lord, Lord. Oh, we pray for a great change, Lord God, Lord. In our midst, Lord God, Lord. Oh, in our darkness, Lord God, Lord, Lord. In our lives, Lord God, Lord. Oh, may we roll back, Lord God, Lord. Now your great light, of Lord God, Lord. Oh, may shine upon us, Lord God, Lord, Lord. In our lives, Lord God, Lord. And we may be, Lord God, Lord, Lord. And we may be indeed, Lord God, Lord. Oh, the light of Lord God, Lord. And the strength, Lord God, of this church, Lord God, Lord. Oh, brandish and grace, Lord God, Lord. Oh, we may unite someone, Lord God, Lord. Oh, the massive, Lord God, Lord. Oh, for all the wickedness in this world, Lord God, Lord. Oh, the faithfulness, Lord God, Lord, Lord. Oh, brandish your strength, Lord God, Lord. Help us, Lord God, Lord. Oh, to be weak, Lord God, Lord. Oh, to be broken, Lord God, Lord. Oh, that you, Lord God, Lord. Oh, be perfect yourself, Lord God, Lord. And ask, Lord God, by your strength, Lord God, Lord. Oh, bless your church, Lord God, Lord. Oh, lead us, Lord God, Lord. Oh, shepherd us, Lord God, Lord, Lord. Oh, show us the way of God, Lord, Lord. Oh, pray this, Lord God, Lord. Oh, that you bless yourself, Lord God, Lord. And you bless the ministry, Lord God, Lord, Lord. Oh, that you may glorify the name of Lord God, Lord. Oh, by your name, Lord God, Lord. Oh, that self, Lord God, Lord. Oh, may be laid aside, Lord God, Lord. Oh, that you want to come, Lord God, Lord. Oh, the conviction, Lord God, Lord, Lord. Oh, the people, Lord, may prepare, Lord God, Lord. Oh, lay down in your presence, Lord God, Lord. Oh, in touch of you, Lord God, Lord, Lord. Oh, that you will sprinkle over, Lord God, Lord. And bring forth, Lord God, Lord. Oh, the fruit, Lord God, Lord. Oh, that we have to bring, Lord God, Lord. And the saints, Lord God, Lord. Oh, bless the gifts of Christ, Lord God, Lord. And the ministry, Lord God, Lord. Oh, musicians and song leaders, Lord God, Lord. Oh, bless your leadership, Lord God, Lord. Oh, we need you to pray, Lord God, Lord. Oh, we need you, Lord God, Lord. Oh, the ground of the deep love, Lord God, Lord. Oh, revelation, Lord God, Lord. And the seas, Lord God, Lord. We're not even able to compromise, Lord God, Lord. The Lord bless us and understand your kind of your soul strength, Lord.
I enter.
I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people and the priests will sing your praise. My hunger and thirst after righteousness, and it's only found in your presence. Oh, take me to the holy. Tremendously
even in the meetings that we have down there. You know, but you wanted to put these things before the Lord on Friday. Remember, it's a body work.
Amen.
This isn't something that you lay on the shoulders of just several people, but the entire body has a part to it.
Amen.
So even if there's nothing else that you can do, please come on Friday. It's a noble cause, a noble quest. The prophet says, you're always in the perfect will of God when you're doing missions work.
Amen.
You're always in His perfect will. So we're really asking the saints, come and support, starting in prayer on Friday, and let's seek the Lord to give us a come up higher in these things, that He may quicken and help us to quicken our pace, that His will may be done. Amen. Let's pray. If you have a need before the Lord, why not just raise your hand once more time? If there's anybody who wants to accept the Lord inside your heart, you know, I need Jesus. I need Him as my Savior. If I died today, as we've been hearing of our precious brother who died on Friday, if it was me today, if my soul was pulled away, where would I go? Am I ready? I know I'm not ready. My friend, there's a way that you can be ready, and it begins by accepting His atonement for you.
Amen.
For you realizing that you can pay nothing for your own sin. That no person, no man born of woman can redeem himself. But that God in His grace sent the perfect Lamb to take your sin upon Himself. And to pay a perfect price, the full price.
Amen.
To redeem you from
Amen.
Death, from hell and the grave.
Thank you, Lord.
And if you want to be a partaker of this great grace, it starts by just sincerely in your heart.
Amen.
Looking away to Jesus.
Yes.
And by raising your hand unto Him upon this day, saying, Jesus, I take you at your word.
Amen.
I accept you as my Redeemer. I accept that you are the great one.
Amen.
Who has done what I could never do. And may the Lord bless you. Father, we look unto you once again upon this day to bring ourselves before thee, before your doors for this place. For Father, all we desire is more of you.
Amen.
Oh, Father, even as we've long been speaking to come on Friday, to seek thy face and to call upon your name.
Amen.
Stir up your people, Lord.
Amen.
Let the deep that is in you minister to the deep that's inside of us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to stir up the gifts that are within us once again, Lord. Father, quicken us in these things, Lord. And help
Amen.
Us, we pray. And guide us in every decision that we make. As Lord, we will come together as your people to seek your face. And Father, Lord, raise us up, Lord, to realms and to places that we've never been before.
Yes, Lord.
That, Father, we may be more effective witnesses of you.
Amen.
For that is our desire, Lord.
Amen.
Father, every hand that has been raised, you see the need beneath it, Lord. Father, even as our brother ones are so well preached, Lord, that even that desire, it's a sure token that you are ready at work.
Amen.
Father, that is not of themselves, but it's a gift of thine, it's your grace.
Amen.
That is already visiting the souls of
yes.
people to stir up a sacred, righteous desire. And surely, Lord, you are more than willing and able, even now, to minister and meet the need of that desire.
Yes, Lord.
So, Father, minister to the needs of your people.
Amen.
And, Father, as we go from this place, please, Lord, give us traveling mercies as we go.
Amen.
Bless our young people in the schools
yes,
and the colleges, Lord.
Amen.
We pray, Lord, you've been singing about in your presence to keep us, Lord, from the flood of evil, Lord, from
Amen.
Overflowing us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We pray a hedge of protection around every one of our
yes,
young
Lord,
people,
Jesus.
Lord. Father, surrounded in places by so
yes,
much.
Amen.
Father, Lord, may you be the hiding place.
Please, Lord Jesus.
Father,
Amen.
You pray for every mother in the home, Father, the precious
Amen.
Home, that, Lord, Father, they may roll those burdens upon him. That, Father, when it seems to be too much, Lord, just, Father, whisper once again as you did to your prophet.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
In the time of trouble, Lord, may they come unto you, Lord, and
yes.
find rest in the midst of whatever that it is, Lord. And each and every one of us with our diversities of needs, Jesus, we bring them unto thee. Father,
Amen.
Lord, Max, his family once again.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, you are the comforter. Lord.
Amen.
You're the one that can comfort in the realm where our words cannot reach.
Amen.
So we just pray that, Father, you would minister of your oil and your wine into that place of comfort.
Amen.
And Father, just be. Father, we'll do all that is needed in these arrangements and so forth. Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, we commit the Sunday school should bless our Sunday school children. Pray for our youth, the young people, bless them. We pray for the ministry in this church, your special blessing upon them.
Amen.
Their administrations and helps, Lord. Father, you are their reward. May you bless them, we pray, the musicians, the sorcerers. Father, everybody who partakes and plays a part. Father, may you bless them upon this
day. Amen.
And Father, them that have a ministry, make it today. I can open your hands. May you watch over them and keep them, Lord. Thank you for Nathaniel, Lord. May you give him a speedy recovery.
Yes,
may you hasten the process for your glory to us, Lord. As Father, we commit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hit someone as we dismiss saints. God bless you richly and to the Lord.
Jesus, I want to bow to my way.